Now, a woman who works as the primary carer for her disabled daughter has been awarded almost £19,000 in compensation after a tribunal found she was unfairly dismissed from her job in North Belfast. Maria McKeith worked at the advice-giving service, the Ardoyne Association, 4 days a week before she was let go in March a couple of years ago. Now, the Equality Commission says it found evidence to show the dismissal was due to her having to look after her daughter and was therefore a form of discrimination within the terms of the Disability Discrimination Act of 1995. Sounds a little complicated. Let me speak to a man who'll make it sound very simple, Dr. Michael Wardlow, indeed, from the Equality Commission, the Chief Commissioner. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Explain the circumstances of this one, please.
This is a very simple one, Frank. Actually, this is a young mother who is also the primary carer for a disabled daughter. She decided, like a lot of people who are caring for people with disabilities, that she wanted to have a work-life balance. And back in 2010, commenced work with the Ardoyne Association. And in order to have that work-life balance, she worked 16 hours a week and she took Wednesdays off in order to spread the responsibility. Whenever she wasn't there, she had arranged for her daughter to be cared for by someone else. And that was fine. She had very few days off. But there were two occasions where her line manager, a Mrs. Burns, actually sent her home and said that her place was actually at home with her daughter. Now, this wasn't taken with any consultation with Maria. It would appear that the tribunal held, actually, that Mrs. Burns genuinely believed that Maria's place was better at home with the daughter. There was never ever issue about her being, you know, disrupting her work. There was no medical condition that Maria had. It seemed to be that Mrs. Burns said, that's your place. So whenever then she was made redundant in 2015, they said she was made redundant because there wasn't any funding. Now, she took a case, it went to tribunal, and the tribunal actually held that there was funding, and that one of the reasons that she was made redundant was she had caring responsibilities. And the tribunal said that the Disability Act actually extends its cover to people who themselves don't have a disability, but who have caring responsibilities for someone who does, if that was the reason they were discriminated against. In very simple terms, they didn't treat any other employee like this. And the tribunal said it was because she had caring responsibilities, because her line manager thought her place was at home, she was then eventually made redundant. And it simply says that carers need to have protections, and the awareness for people who are caring is that they are protected.
So an act of generosity from the line manager in the end counted against the employer?
No, absolutely not. I think you're misunderstanding this. I grew up in a time, Frank, whenever society said a woman's place was at home. I grew up in a society that said when you went into teaching or the civil service and you got married, you had to leave work and go home. The marriage bar, it was called, because society seemed to think a woman's place was at home. The woman was never asked. The reason for the disability legislation was people with disabilities should not be treated as charity cases. In fact, one of the brilliant High Court cases said putting money into the pocket of disabled people isn't the purpose of the legislation. Maria actually was paid when she was sent home. The tribunal didn't say anything other than, I am sure the line manager had the best intentions. The problem is, it's going back to treating people with disabilities or with caring responsibilities as charity cases. So there was no reason for her to say Maria should be at home. I mean, her work wasn't suffering. There was never an issue of health for Maria herself. It seemed that the decision was taken out of her hands. And that's exactly what we don't want. People who are living with a disability or are a carer for someone who's disabled actually have the right to take their own decisions. So actually this may have been a compassionate act, and Mrs. Burns indeed may have believed that. That doesn't mean, however, that she should simply take a decision on behalf of Maria.
Will it put employers in the future in a position where they will feel they have to be a little more draconian as opposed to coming across as being compassionate and charitable in case it counts against them in the future?
No, and I think this is approaching it. If we could take this, leave aside the fact that this was a carer. In other words, supposing Maria herself had been the disabled person, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, because most people accept that if you have a disability, an employer knows that and they make some reasonable accommodation for that. In other words, you know, it might be flexible working, it might be, you know, a bigger screen, it might be something to help with hearing or mobility. We all know that. I think the concern here has been, oh, you mean now that if I'm looking after someone who's got a disability, I have to be treated in a particular way? It's not saying that people should be treated differently because they have a caring responsibility. It's simply saying that if you discriminate against someone and the grounds of that discrimination is because they're caring for someone with a disability, you run the risk of being found to have discriminated. And that's what happened here. So, look, employers simply need to say, how do we work flexibly? And they were doing this. This is the irony. For 4 years, Maria had been working 16 hours a week. She had never had any discipline. She never had missed more than a few days, and that was agreed by both parties. So this wasn't anything about how she could do her work. It seemed to be around Mrs. Byrne's view that a mum's place who was looking after a young woman with a disability should be in the home and not in work.
There's also a suggestion here, however, that the employer shouldn't interfere, that they shouldn't be asking the mother of the disabled child, can you cope? Is everything all right? Are things going the way you need them to go? Because it may, at some point in the future, lead to a situation where it could be used against them if that person has to be made redundant. Many, many people are made redundant.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, there are all sorts of processes around redundancy. And if someone's made redundant and it's for the redundancy processes have been worked through and people have been treated equitably, then, you know, because you're disabled or because you're a female or because you're older and you're made redundant doesn't automatically mean you've been discriminated against. The question is always, were you made redundant in a discriminatory fashion? In other words, was it that you were old or disabled or a female? Was that the reason you were made redundant? Or was it because the work that you did was no longer required or the funding ran out? And in this particular case, the tribunal said the reason given, that is there was no funding, was not the valid reason. And what happened then was the Ardoyne Association had the burden of proof to prove the reason she was made redundant had nothing to do with her caring responsibilities. They failed to do that. See, the big issue here, Frank, is 40% of households in Northern Ireland have a disabled member. And that works across to about 1 in 4 adults and about 6% of children. And when you look at carers, in the last decade, about a 16% increase in people who give care. And when you look at the workforce, there's something like 120,000 people working who care for somebody. That's a huge number. And about 10% of those care for children. So Maria represents 12,000 people who are struggling to try to get a work-life balance. Now, if part of the Disability Act is to try to help integration, to try to help give people the right to work and to engage and the dignity that comes with that, it's not about the money. It's actually about allowing them to work. Now, that was taken away from Maria here by the employer who, for the right intentions perhaps, felt she should be at home. But actually, the whole purpose of trying to help Maria and her family was to give her that dignity of work. It wasn't about the money, it was about the work. That was taken away, and that was made very clear that that was a patronising attitude. In terms of your earlier question, of course there should be engagement. Of course pastoral responsibilities are what happens in work, and in general, people will very often say, how are things going, without being intrusive. And I would not like to think that a very generous comment like that could be taken by a tribunal down the line. This was different. This wasn't that conversation. This was Maria being told on two occasions, stay at home.
The Ardoyne Association, they're not exactly a multinational company. £19,000 of a payout might be quite a hit to a group like that.
Well, one would hope that there is insurance for that, but that's not the issue. The issue is that this may, the cases that we support, Frank, most of them don't end up either in a tribunal or a court. They're actually resolved without that, and you've covered a lot of them where people even sometimes agree that there's a settlement but they don't admit liability. This one didn't only end up in tribunal, it went to appeal. So it was the Ardoyne Association believed that the disability bit of this was what they appealed. They didn't appeal the other, which was the unfair dismissal. So they recognised the fact she had been unfairly dismissed. What they challenged was that it was on the grounds of the disability. And the Court of Appeal actually overturned that. So there was every chance that this could have been resolved. But now this has become case law, and this is extremely important because it sends out a message to every other carer who's looking after someone with a disabled, who is the prime carer of a disabled dependent, that they should have the same protections that Maria has.
And it's a reminder to all employers to be aware of Disability Discrimination Act 1995.
And by association, what we're now calling associative discrimination. And Frank, look, we're here to help. It's 9,500, 600 if people want to give us a ring, whether they're a carer or whether they're an employer. And we have staff colleagues here who are well able to give that advice. The important thing is to get it preemptive, to try to have that working atmosphere where people can share their issues, where they can come to flexible working arrangements, as happened here. But I think it also sends out a question to say to us, how do we treat people with disabilities? I grew up whenever blue card labour was around. I don't know if you remember that or not, but you know, this was before the legislation, and people had to show they had a quota of disabled people. And it was almost as though if you had a disability, you felt treated like a charity case. And this disability legislation is to do away with that. As to say, it's a bit like, does he take sugar in his tea? You know, that old sort of story. We should be asking people who live with a disability or with caring responsibilities what's best for them, and then negotiate something that suits everyone. This didn't happen in this case, unfortunately.
Dr. Michael Wardlow, appreciate your time this morning. Michael, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Not at all, Frank.
Thank you.
All the best now. Bye-bye.
Good morning.